This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
I think before we ask the question, how are we going to fix it, the most important question that for a number of these topics that we're going to break down is, do the powers that be want to fix it?
Everybody blames everybody. The city blames the county blames the state blames the city and the county blames the city and the state. It just goes round and round. But in the end, the only person that's hurt is the renter.
Live at the Avenue, here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
Good evening. You are listening live to the final hour of today's live broadcast of The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken and DT. Thank y'all so much for tuning in on this cold, but it's a new day. It's a new day and we're here. So that's what's most important. It is the first day of February. And this is also, which I am always very, very excited about, this is the first day of Black History Month. So wishing everyone a Black History Month. Happy, happy, happy Black History Month. Now, speaking of Black history, and y'all bear with me, because I am big on people's identity, their name, and I still struggle with pronouncing correctly my brother Giannis's last name. Now, this is not a sports show, but speaking of Black history, actually speaking of American history, Greek history, Wisconsin history, Milwaukee history, Giannis could be heading for a new home. Now, as you heard during the break, we just got beat. The Milwaukee Bucks had a fifth consecutive loss to the Boston Celtics, 107-79. It's almost like 30 points. And we got Giannis. If you are not familiar with Giannis, and because this is not a sports show, I'm not going to get into all his stats, but I will say this, he is definitely, arguably regarded as one of the greatest players and power forwards of all time. Of all time. I remember traveling to Israel. In particular, I was in Tel Aviv probably about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, 2022. All over. In shopping districts, Giannis, pictures everywhere. Giannis is a brand. He's a global brand. And for over a decade has been for Milwaukee and for the Milwaukee Bucks organization way beyond a super athlete. He's been a symbol of resilience, pride, and what's possible when talent meets work ethic. And I've always admired Giannis for that. But now the vibes might have shifted a little bit, because just recently ESPN reported that our two-time MVP Giannis may be ready for a new home. Now, the NBA has a tread deadline, just in case you didn't know, February the 5th. That's this week. And man, the NBA is buzzing like a block party in Brownsville. Now, why this matters, because if this really goes down, there's going to be so many impacts for Milwaukee, for the state of Wisconsin. Our Siding Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. One of the things I have a question for you, our valued listener, is what does it mean when a franchise icon considers leaving the team that drafted him? Because one thing I could say about Giannis, he has been extremely loyal to the Bucks, to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee. And he's been very engaging. And if he does leave, what does that say about our ability as a city and as Milwaukee Bucks organization to build a team that supports generational greatness? Because without Giannis, if Giannis decides Bucks based on the NBA's February 5th trade deadline, I mean, looking at the roster and looking at the fact that we have lost 5 games consecutively, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. Because, again, it will challenge a lot. It will have a lot of impacts. Now, some of us are probably thinking, Denise, that's just what happens. That's what happens. It's business. There's nothing that, you know, we could do. Giannis has given us enough. Now on Instagram, Giannis's, one of his recent Instagram posts, I interpreted as a more of a motivational message, but some people are thinking that it could be a tease. So in the post on Instagram, on his Instagram page, it says, "Too rare to blend in, too real to switch up." And I've seen so many rumors on the internet too. Like Giannis has already been traded. It's just ridiculous. But in terms of his page, too rare to blend in, too real to switch up. What do you think that meant? Do you think that Giannis is going to step away from the Bucks based on the NBA deadline, trade deadline of February 5th? Do you think this, what could have been Giannis's last game with the Milwaukee Bucks based on the 5th consecutive loss and getting beat by the Boston Celtics almost 30 points? Our Citing Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616-1620. Let me know what you think, because again, this is going to be huge. He has been a heartbeat for the city. Giannis has put Milwaukee on the map. He's been very engaged in social impact initiatives and just his overall presence. It transcended the way that basketball was played or has been played. And again, I'll say it one more time. Giannis put Milwaukee on the map, because if you say Giannis, they're going to automatically say, oh, Milwaukee. Well, wait a minute. Where's Milwaukee? Wisconsin. Oh, okay. So what does it mean when a franchise icon is considering leaving a team that drafted him? Does it speak to how his team values championships versus long-time cultural investments? Should we just be like, hey, Giannis, thank you for your contributions. We wish you the best. Because if Giannis leaves, whether it's based on business or whether it's family, whatever the decisions are, maybe it's a combination of both. One thing I do know is that Giannis literally lived his life defying the odds. Coming from, you know, having Nigerian descent, growing up in Greece, just wanting to play basketball and provide a life for his family, his parents, his brothers, and now his wife and their children. So based on all that, he's been very loyal to Milwaukee. And I know a lot of people will be very devastated, including yours truly. However, I get it. I get it. And so, Giannis, if you're listening, thank you for all your contributions, whether you stay here or not. Thank you for everything that you're bringing, have brought to the city and the state of Wisconsin. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you got Miami Heat, New York Knicks, Golden State Warriors. They are pushing hard to acquire Giannis, like right now. And what's interesting is that Miami and Golden State, from a temperature and climate standpoint, sound pretty good right now. Some insiders have even speculated that Giannis may have already played his final game in a Bucks uniform. Even if a deal doesn't happen before February the 5th. So whether it's now or later, the NBA world is watching. No, the world is watching. The world is watching Milwaukee right now to see whether or not Giannis will remain a Bucks player. So more to come. I just had to get that off my chest. Because again, I know this is not a sports show, and I'm sure ESPN Milwaukee is going to be covering this all week long, because again, the NBA trade deadline is February the 5th. What is that, Evan? Is that like what, Thursday or Friday of this week? I want to say Thursday.
Be Thursday.
What do you think? How do you feel about Giannis? You think he's staying or leaving?
I don't think he's leaving by the deadline. With the calf issue he's dealing with right now, I know they're saying the teams aren't going to be scared off of that, but I think teams are going to want to see him play some healthy basketball or wait till the offseason. But I know for Giannis and the other teams, it's best to get him by the deadline, because he can eligible to sign a new Supermax extension in October. If he gets traded in the offseason, it pushes it back to January. But I think he ends up staying. I think him and the Bucks figure out a path to keep him in Milwaukee and keep him here to put a team around him that's going to be competitive. But, you know, maybe that's just, you know, me talking with my heart more than my brain, but I guess we'll see.
Yes, we will. No, thank you for that, Evan, because the bottom line is that the Milwaukee Bucks, they are a for-profit organization. They are a business. And the reality is that if Giannis leaves, that's obviously going to have, or needless to say, an impact on fan engagement, ticket sales. I mean, we just built a multi, what was it? Almost, it was an astronomical price. I know that. It was probably a couple $100 million to build Pfizer Forum. And I travel all the time, and Pfizer Forum is probably one of the most fascinating venues, especially when it comes to the game experience. So for the past, what, 4 or 5 years? No, longer than that, I think, that the Bucks have been playing at Pfizer Forum.
I think 2019 was the first season there.
Yeah, it's just been nothing but great. So more to come. When we come back from break, again, it is Black History Month starting today through the 28th. And I want to get into what I feel is an interesting topic. And I hope that for our listeners, however you identify, I definitely want to hear your thoughts. But we're going to get into Milwaukee then versus Milwaukee now. In particular, how has the city changed? Whether you're Black, or whether you identify as Black or Brown or not, how has the city of Milwaukee changed? How has Southeastern Wisconsin changed over the decades when it comes to integration and community across different ethnicities and families in the cities? So we come back, we're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about schools, neighborhoods, all of that. But has there been progress? Does it feel like there's been progress? And what feels like this is still the same? Our Siding Unlimited talk and text line is 855-616. I got it now, y'all. 1620. That's 855-616-1620. This is The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. We will be back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
Good evening. Good evening. It is Sunday, February 1st. We are coming to you live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken and your girl, yours truly, DT, the Effective Communication Coach. Hope you are having a great weekend. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. It is Black History Month. Today is the kickoff. And for the next 28 days, we will be celebrating excellence and just being mindful and even being reminded of all of the great, notable leaders that have contributed so that all human beings, all Americans, can benefit. And you know what I love about Black History Month? It reminds us that excellence has always lived in our communities. The missing lesson was never effort. I want to be clear, it was never effort. It was strategy, timing, and the freedom when oftentimes doors were refused to be open. And I know that for many of us, we've been hesitant, anxious, nervous, or just, you know, hey, we don't have to celebrate Black History Month anymore. And please understand that Black History Month is U.S. history. It is U.S. history. And so I want to just celebrate some names that you may not have heard, but we should know because their work today, it continues the legacy and the resilience and innovation. Because again, Black history isn't just history. It's also unfolding before us right now. So here are some unsung Black history makers. I just want to share them with you, especially for those that are innovators or educators, and even those in tech. Juan E. Gilbert was a pioneering Black computer scientist whose advocacy and research helped dramatically increase people of color representation in computing and engineering education. Angela Benton, the founder of NewMe, and that's N-E-W-M-E, one of the first global startup accelerators for entrepreneurs of color. Shout out to Angela, because I'm definitely an entrepreneur of color, and helping people of color tech founders raise millions in venture capital. And I'm not going to forget about our young change makers. Mari Kopany, also known as Little Miss Flint, is a youth activist and philanthropist, almost couldn't say that, whose letter to President Obama helped secure hundreds of millions in water infrastructure aid for Flint, Michigan. And last but not least, Jerome Foster, who is an environmental activist and founder of 1 Million of Us, empowering youth voices in climate justice and civic engagement. Again, want to make sure that we understand these innovative, even the young people, Black history change makers. And I hope that every community that has its own living history continue to help make sure that our voices, our stories, our impacts are part of U.S. history, American history, world history. So happy, happy, happy Black History Month. I hope that these modern heroes, because I know for the most part, whenever we talk about Black history, it's usually the same. And not to disregard their contributions, but there are more notable Black leaders in this country and even doing things right now besides Oprah Winfrey, President Barack Obama, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. There are a number, significant number. And so I hope that these stories and these coverage of these individuals just inspire you and also educate you. And as you're starting your week, think about who in your community is making history right now, because this is what we do. We honor, we recognize, and we make sure that we are contributing to this thing called legacy and to this thing called history. So when we come back, we're going to get into a conversation, because I know a lot of us are still dealing with this, about the whole myth of, when I was growing up, and I probably shouldn't say myth, but I feel like it's a myth now. But when I was growing up, there was this mantra that said, if you work hard, you'll be rewarded. If you work hard, you'll be successful. Is that still the case? Or is it now a myth? If you work hard, you'll be rewarded. And for many of us, that was a first lesson that we gained from our parents. Is it still relevant? Is it still about hard work? Is it still about showing up and staying late? Or showing up early, I should say, and staying late. Is it still about that? Is it still about do not complain? Because I remember my father would always tell me, don't complain at work. Don't be a liability, be an asset. Get there early. Timeliness is everything. Because when you're early, you're on time. When you're on time, you're late. These are all guiding principles that my father instilled in me as part of being a professional worker. So are we still living in an era of where you work hard, you'll be rewarded? Or is it now about doing everything fast and getting rewarded instantly? Because also the instant gratification is impacting a lot of areas, like the number of degrees, college degrees that are being earned. So when we come back, let's get into it. I want to hear from you. Our Citing Unlimited talk and text line. You can talk, call in, let me know your thoughts. You can text 855-616-1620. And if you've already texted, I apologize. I'm going to have to get with Evan, our incredible producer, and see what's on our Citing Unlimited text line. And I'll make sure that I read those when we come back. So stay locked in. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered. I am holding it down for the remaining 30 minutes, your girl DT, right here on 620 WTMJ. Stay locked in. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is The Truth Unfiltered with your host for the remaining of the show, yours truly, DT, the Effective Communication Coach. Let me say that like I mean it, the Effective Communication Coach. It is Sunday, the first day of February, and as we are kicking off Black History Month, I want to wish everybody a happy, happy Black History Month. Now, I did not have visibility to our Citing Unlimited talk and text line. Let me give you that number again. I want to give a shout out to our valued listeners who sent in some comments about ICE. We were covering ICE earlier in the first hour, and we talked about Giannis because, again, the NBA trade deadline is February the 5th, and a lot of experts, sports experts and commentaries are comment. I can't even say the word, y'all. Commentators are saying that it's not looking good for Milwaukee to keep Giannis. Evan, what do we have coming in about ICE? I want to make sure if anybody had any questions or any additional information, I can respond accordingly.
Just more a couple comments. Peter, frequent texter from the 262, quote, my daughter lives in Minneapolis and in a diverse neighborhood, and she's witnessed people who look a certain way targeted, approached by ICE in public places while they're cooperating and trying to tell agents they are citizens. And they show them proof, and the agents ignore them and were very abusive and were detained regardless, sometimes for a day or more before being released. But ICE apparently has, I don't know if this is true or not, but a secret arrest quota and does everything to meet them regardless of legality and due process.
Wow. Well, first, Peter, thank you for sharing that comment. I will definitely keep your daughter in my thoughts and prayers for her safety. Because I know as a parent, whenever you are watching the news and it's happening in the same city of where your daughter or your child lives, that's not a good feeling for any parent. So I'm sending good vibes out for your daughter and for the entire city of Minneapolis. This is why it's so important to understand our rights. And there's so much information that is being published, but this boils down to understanding the law, understanding the Constitution, understanding state laws, contacting your local elected official. And I know, again, I hear the eyes rolling, but let me just share something that I shared with my children, my adult children the other day. We are all standing on the shoulders, and I don't care how you identify. I'll even go as far as back as the Revolutionary War, where what is now known as the Americans protested and broke away from the British government to then create the US of A. Everybody has benefited from protest. Like, think about in the literal sense of the word protest. There is not one person that can sit in the comfort of their home and say, well, I'm anti-protest, or I'm anti, because you literally are one of the beneficiaries of that. Protesting has been existing. Protesting, challenging government, it has existed way beyond the existence of the United States of America, which, by the way, is celebrating this year its 250th birthday. July 4th, 1776. This year will be the 250th birthday of the United States of America. Shout out to all my 76ers, because we turned 50. Can you imagine that? We're just 50. We're just 200 years younger than the country. That makes us very young. I'm going to start saying that out loud more, because I felt a lot younger when I said it that way. But in all seriousness, going back to Peter's text, we got to understand the law. We have to build relationships, and we cannot give up. We cannot quit, because we're standing on the shoulders of people who could have walked away and quit many times. And protesting is part of our constitutional rights. So please understand, please get the information and know how to engage, when to engage, when not to engage, because it could be you. Please understand, it could be you. We had another comment about ICE, or did we have another comment about Giannis, Evan?
We have one more question about what's going on in Minneapolis, and then we have one regarding Giannis. Which one do you want me to go to?
Minneapolis right now.
So from the 920, I have a friend who lives in Minneapolis. Last week, she asked me for money to hire an attorney. Her mom and 14-year-old son have been taken. I don't know her mom's citizenship. She's 38, and all four of her children were born here. Her son has never been to Mexico. She told me a couple years ago she's eligible for dual citizenship and never pursued Mexican citizenship. She has no idea where they are and has no contact. I'm unable to help her. I support targeted enforcement. This really hits home. I don't know where, when, or how they were taken, or if they are together or were together.
Well, first of all, thank you for that question. And what I'm going to say to you, I want to preface it that I am not a customs enforcement expert. I'm not in any shape, form, or fashion authorized to speak on behalf of customs and immigration, but I will say this to you. There are a number of up-to-date resources where you can learn, and I'm doing it with you, trust me, where you can learn about U.S. immigration, especially as it relates to customs enforcement or ICE laws, your rights, your friends, your cousins' rights, as well as U.S. citizenship. Because it's very important that we understand the do's and the don'ts when it comes to the citizenship process. So please, please, I encourage you right now to visit the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement website. There is an official website where you can understand your rights. And that website address, I'm going to give it to you now, is www.nilc.org. Okay, this is where you're going to understand your rights, the checkpoints, what you need, and there are guides in both English and Spanish. And this will help you understand what ICE can and cannot do, and what to do if ICE contacts you, what documents, and also visit ACLU. because that's an organization that's going to really help outside of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement website understand your rights. So this is going to cover every aspect of an encounter with immigration agents, ICE raids, and detentions. You can also visit any website, or I shouldn't say any website. Google websites are specific to immigrant rights and ICE info, because there's going to be a number of reader and user friendly. Because I'll tell you right now, in situations like this, I'm like, communicate with me like I'm a third grader. I don't have time for all those 8-syllable words. And, you know, when I go to the website, I see 20,000 words. No, give it to me straight and simple. And I can tell you right now, you will be the judge of that, but definitely Google community friendly and user friendly guides regarding your rights. And as far as understanding immigration laws here in the United States, visit the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services website. That is also known as USCIS, and the official government site for immigration law applications and policies. So being able to understand where relatives have been deported or where they are in custody. Green card information, work authorization, refugee information. Again, finding out where your loved ones are, as well as any updates to the law and processing times. That's where you go, USCIS. And that website is www.uscis.gov. You can also visit immigrationlawhelp.org. And that is where you can find free or low-cost immigration legal services in your state, including here in Wisconsin. And again, that is the immigrationlawhelp.org. Immigrationlawhelp.org. So I hope this gives you some helpful information, because please understand, you have rights even if you're not a U.S. citizen. You can refuse to open your door, especially if there's no warrant. The one thing that I'm going to be doing now is, in addition to my driver's license, I'm going to be carrying my passport. Because I don't want no smoke. And please, if you are detained and you're with a family member or loved one, please ask them to not intervene. Ask them to record. Give them your information, and but please do not intervene, because that's when it escalates. And I know the natural reaction, especially if we see a loved one, a family member, a friend getting detained, and I've seen it all across social media, but that is what is going to cause escalation. And it could end up detrimental. I'll just say that. So please use the internet in terms of official guides, official websites, official information to help you understand what you can do to prevent, or how you react, where your loved ones are located, and even free or heavily discounted legal assistance. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered. When we come back, we're going to wrap this up. But great questions. Thank you so much for tuning in. Because here at The Truth Unfiltered, we want to make sure that's what we're giving you. And that's the unfiltered truth. Stay locked in. Our Citing Unlimited talk and text line for the last 15 minutes of this show. We definitely want to hear from you. 855-616-1620. We'll be back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
All right. We're wrapping things up. I appreciate y'all tuning in. I see y'all on our 620 WTMJ X coverage, formerly known as Twitter. It's 97 of y'all watching me right now. I love it. Thank you. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be here. And for those listening, thank you as well. This has been a great show. I missed being here, so I'm glad that we're back. And I'm actually going to be broadcasting this show live next week. It's going to be in our sister station, 101.7 The Truth, part of the Good Karma Brands family. I'm going to be broadcasting live next Monday. Mark your calendar on 101.7 FM The Truth. I'll be broadcasting live right after Dr. Ken's live broadcast, Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken, which you can listen and view every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, as we're wrapping up, and I have this conversation with a lot of folks, especially, and I'm only saying because I was trying to come up with a politically correct word. Let's just say this. There is still a lot of back and forth on this concept of if you work hard, you'll be rewarded. Now, when I was growing up, it was like an inheritance. Like there was no question about working hard. And I'm gonna unfilter this truth because a lot of folks will say things like, I'm not gonna say a lot of folks, a lot of racist people, which I know are none of us here on TMJ, but a lot of racist people think that Black people are lazy. Black people want handouts. Black people are lazy. Black people are uneducated. They don't know how to work hard. When in actuality, let me remind those, and I'll just speak from my experience. And like I said, I'll be 50 years old in May. I have literally my entire professional life as an employee. The countless times where I had to work twice as hard just to get a 3% merit increase. And I see somebody who doesn't look like me that didn't put even a third of the work that I put in and gets promoted. My father would teach me, if you work hard, you'll be rewarded. And I know this again is very generational because when you look at now, that mantra is a little outdated. Now I have two adult children. My daughter will be 31 in April. My son will be 28 next month. So I have adult children. And I can tell you now, I did not change or disrupt that mantra of working hard and you'll be rewarded. But the question is, because again, my kids are adults now, so that ship has sailed. Do we still give our children, the incoming workforce, the Gen Zers and the Gen, I think it's now, is it Gen? I can't know the next generation, the most recent generation. But anywho, does that question still mean the same? Do we still use the whole advice of if you work hard, you'll be rewarded? Now, I want to be fair because in today's climate, especially with the artificial intelligence component, it would defeat the purpose of AI to enforce working hard. But what does that mean in today's generation? Because for previous generations, including mine, working hard was about staying employed. Okay, I always was like, look, because layoffs, we're not new to layoffs. Where are my boomers at? Where are my Gen Xers? We are not older millennials. We are not new to layoffs, especially for the Gen Xers, because we all overcame 2007 through 2009, where you literally were walking on eggshells. You were just like, okay, please let me have a job today. But you worked hard to stay employed, to stay alive, to stay safe, to have a family. And being loyal to your employer was, it wasn't always just about the values, but it was also, hey, if I'm loyal to my employer, maybe they'll be loyal to me, which we then found was not the case. So back then, the working hard, it wasn't necessarily about getting ahead. It was about not getting laid off or not getting pushed out. And today, the whole reward, that looks completely different. 855-616-1620 is our citing unlimited talk and text line. Is hard work the same? What does that mean? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you tell a younger generation, like a younger millennial or an older Gen Zer, that, hey, if you work hard, you'll get a steady paycheck. That ain't going to work. Hey, if you work hard, you'll get a pension. That definitely ain't going to work. Hey, if you work hard, you'll have health insurance. And we know that's not going to work. So what is it going to take to incentivize our incoming generation to not only work hard, but how do we define what hard work means? Because the new generation is definitely strategic. They want visibility. They want autonomy. They want to go from business analyst to chief marketing officer within a year. I want mental health days. I want work flexibility. So if I want to work from home Tuesday through Thursday, do a half day in the office on Monday. I mean, these are all realities in terms of working hard. And I remember, you know, if you quit your job, 9 times out of 10, you had a job waiting on you. Exit plans now, very different. I mean, they even have a term, quiet quitting. So leaving your employer now, it's not a failure. It's literally like the way to get to the next step. I think a lot of times when I reflect on my parents' generation, boomers, traditionalists, leaving was a sign of disloyalty. And nowadays, leaving is just, it's Tuesday. So what advice are you giving? So the parents that are bringing the new generation of professionals, what advice are you giving them now? And what do I need to change in terms of my vernacular when talking about hard work and being rewarded? What does reward mean when you are conditioning and socializing employment with your children? And how do we honor the wisdom that we receive from our elders without passing down these survival strategies that we know no longer serve? 855-616-1620. Look, we got about 2 minutes. Bueller, anyone? See, now I'm showing my generation. Because I really want to understand again, how are we honoring our elders, but also respecting the way that we know that what our elders taught us about hard work is not relevant in 2026. Me, I'm just thankful that my children are adults and doing quite well. My son, he's fully employed, full-time employed, takes care of himself. My daughter, she's currently attending the University of Evansville, earning her doctorate, her PhD in clinical psychology. I'm going to just say this with my chest. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to take a little bit of credit for that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, listen, I want to thank you guys and ladies for tuning in. And as we close, because we had a great show, and this show is only great because of your listenership and your viewership. So thank you. Thank you so much. We do not take that lightly because we know that you have a choice now. Podcasts, trillion stations, all these alternatives. And you were here with me for 2 hours. So I appreciate that. Just want to leave you with this. Please, before you ignore, before you roll your eyes, and before you say, here we go, look at it from this lens. Please consider this. Black History Month reminds us that hard work has always lived. in the Black community, and even so, this country. And so the evolution of work, it's not about working less, it's about working wiser, with strategy, with time. Maybe I'm answering my own question. And even when you need the courage to move, when a lot of things are changing, such as AI. Hard work kept us alive and it will continue. And so now it must help us thrive. Thank y'all so much. I love you. Tell somebody you love them. Wishing you a safe, warm, prosperous, productive week. Take care.